to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit, notice that, capital S, suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Now, as we look at these verses together, I think we can see something that God wants us to see in following the leadership of the Lord and the Holy Spirit, and that involves our involvement in missions. This text, actually, by their obeying, this text changed the history of the world and the civilization of the world. It changed it completely because of what happened. Now, if the Holy Spirit had directed them to go to China or India or in a different direction, then they would have been sending missionaries to the white pagans of Germany and France and England and Scotland and Ireland. But the Holy Spirit of God was leading them in the right direction for many right reasons, and the Holy Spirit directed otherwise. Paul and Timothy and Luke involved in this. And we notice that they had obviously a close association and relationship with the Holy Spirit. Do you have that today? Only God and you know that, but they had that. The Holy Spirit was one of them. And they had a remarkable reverence for the Holy Spirit. I brought the Holy Spirit with me today. I saw a sign coming in and said, Holy Spirit, come. I thought, well, he's already here. Now, I know what some people mean by that. They mean that we want him to show up and bless in the service, and that's good. But I brought the Holy Spirit today with me in my heart. He lives in my temple, and so did you. That's a good thing. That's why God's people ought to come to church, right? And corporately, we all have the Holy Spirit in us, unless you're not saved and you come together. Well, that was good. The Holy Spirit was one of them, and they had a remarkable reverence for the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I'm afraid the Holy Spirit today, I'm afraid some of us miss it. I really am. I'm afraid in our churches that a lot of us really miss the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Do you know we can be directed by the Holy Spirit with infallible direction? The Holy Spirit's not going to lead you in the wrong way. Amen. The Holy Spirit's going to lead you in the right way. The Holy Spirit's going to lead you in truth, perfect truth, every time. Now, maybe we can't comprehend that, but if we would learn to walk in familiarity with the Holy Spirit and learn to depend on Him to direct our lives, then our lives are going to be a whole lot better. We are a secular and worldly bunch of people these days. Now, you say, you're picking on our church? No, I'm picking on any church these days. In our culture, in our society, not that. We have become secular and very worldly, geocentric, earthbound, earth-centered. And our choices, many of our habits that we have, many of our ways of living fail to realize the Holy Spirit wants to guide us, and He will guide us without error if indeed we will follow Him and listen to His guidance. Let me try to illustrate this to you. You may think I'm going to give you a history lesson, but just stay with me, and we'll lead to the point and show you how we look at certain things and we accept those things without any question. But yet there are a lot of Christians who really don't understand the Holy Spirit and the guidance of the Holy Spirit and what He wants to do in our lives. For instance, the effect of matter upon matter. We believe in gravity, right? That Bible dropped straight down, didn't it? Why didn't it go up? Why didn't it go to the right? Why didn't it go to the left? Well, there's a principle that we call gravity. Now, I can't explain it, and I've never found anybody can really totally explain it. But I know it's a fact, I know it's true, and I accept it and believe it about gravity. There are many other illustrations I could give you about gravity, but we'll skip that. You can take a piece of white paper and put some iron shavings on that white paper. And then you can get a magnet and put it under it and move that all around. Now, what makes that magnet work? And how can we really explain how that all happens? Sometimes it's very difficult for us to do that. We really can't explain it. Now, I'm sure somebody will come up to me after the service and say, well, I can tell you, but I know some of the technical stuff. But to explain exactly why all of that works, I don't think anybody can. There's a bay called the Bay of Fundy, and that is in Nova Scotia in East Canada. And it's known for its extreme high tides. And sometimes a tide will come up there 72 feet. Now, if you look out here at some of these old water towers, they're about 100 feet. So almost that high, the tide comes up. And people are familiar with that, and especially those that are around there. Now, what power affects the whole Atlantic Ocean and makes the tide come up that high? What power does that? How does it happen? Why does it happen? Well, it's really the effect of the moon on the sea. And that's what causes it to happen. It's unseen by us, maybe invisible to us, but nevertheless, the power is there. We can't explain it, but we accept it. And so that's the effect of matter upon matter. And then there's the effect of mind upon mind. Mind upon mind. Napoleon Bonaparte was called the Little Corporal. And he had a nation in his hands and all of the people around him in his hands and all the geographical territories. And he was very persuasive. How do you explain that? But he could do it. He had words upon words and people followed him. In World War II, Winston Churchill, he is looking at the future against Germany. And everybody was down, and everybody was discouraged, and everybody thought, what are we going to do? It seemed like it was impossible, but Churchill got up and made some speeches, and everybody was ready to go, and we won the war. So all of this, I think one of the most explosive forces in our world is not be afraid of the nuclear weapons, but probably it's an idea that comes from a man's mind. As a matter of fact, isn't Antichrist going to be like that, Sora? And that's the way he's going to be. Then we have a man by the name of Karl Marx and the Communist Manifesto. And man, his words rang out and people followed him. And are we not even now in this day and age still dealing with Marxism? Now, as Brother Wiggins said this morning in his class, I don't want to get political. But I'm not like him, so I get political, I'll tell you. We've got so much of that in our leadership today, and they're trying to bring forth a one-world government. They're working together to do that and all of those things. But the Communist Manifesto, I promise you today, is still a powerful document. And it was this man that spoke that wooed a lot of people to do what they did. Now, we can accept all of those things as true, and we can accept all of those things as affecting our lives, but not really accept the power of the Holy Spirit like we should. The leadership of the Holy Spirit, recognizing that He is God in us. The Holy Spirit is God in us. And you remember that they were following the Holy Spirit. There's a rise to another level in that, and that is intellectual appreciation, academia and all that they teach, and speculative philosophy, and Darwinism and all. We were in Branson, Missouri, and so we had a bus, a group of our church went, and the driver's name was Herb Gembalski. And so I was talking to him, and I witnessed to him, and I said, Herb, won't you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? We had a little talk. And he said, oh, no, I just believe in evolution. And he said, really, I don't even know if I believe in God or not. And he was a nice guy and seemed very well educated and all of that, but he would not accept the truth about God. He couldn't believe what the Bible said about God. And everything in his life is either like many others, material or secular. earthbound and earth described. But then there's a higher level. There's a higher story. What is that? We live in the presence of God. Isn't it good to live in the presence of God and understand it? Isn't it good to live a rich life, a full life? Hey, I'm glad I'm saved. I have a rich life, a full life, a wonderful life, a spiritual life, walking in God's ways, directed by heaven's words and heaven's wisdom. I hope that's what I intend to do. Paul did that, didn't he? We find that in these verses of Scripture that we've shared. He lived in God's presence. And Paul wanted to be directed by this person who lived in him, the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit directed him. He said, don't go east, don't go south, don't go north, but I want you to go west. And you and I today better be glad they went west. We better be thankful that they went over in Europe. And Paul did that. They came to the Aegean Sea, and they said, what do we do now? What's next? And the Holy Spirit had a choice, didn't he? He had a choice for where he wanted them to go, what he wanted them to do. And the Holy Spirit had a purpose in doing that. He always does. He's always infallible. He always gives you the right choice. He always gives you the right purpose. The problem is we're not sensitive to him and listen to him sometimes. But if you want to live a wonderful life, a glorious life, a victoriously triumphant life, a heavenly life, a glorious life, then we need to live in the will and wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Get that? Because I believe in this conference, the Holy Spirit is already speaking and he's going to speak. And we need to be sensitive to that. And so when they came to that place, the Aegean Sea, what did they do at that time? Well, the highest life that we have is when the Holy Spirit shows us and leads us to do what is victorious for the glory of God. And so he gave him a vision. What kind of vision? Was a man of Macedonia. And he was dressed like the Macedonians, I'm sure, in the vision that he gave him. And then he makes this prayer to Paul and them. Look back at verse 9, if you will. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Here's a man in a vision. The Holy Spirit is leading in this thing. And the man says, come to Macedonia. We need help. Come over to Macedonia. We need something we don't have. And that's a remarkable thing, because here you have a Macedonian, and I'll tell you who they were, but a Macedonian asking just a common Baptist preacher, we need help. And this was the homeland of Philip of Macedon. His son, you may have heard of him, his name was Alexander the Great. Here you have this background and this culture. Possibly this general had the greatest effect on mankind other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And here they were in that area. They had the genius. The whole world, the whole civilized world was made part of the Greek Empire. Now, we don't know if it was a vision like he said or what that made him stay there and led him to do what he did. I'm talking about the political leader. But it's hard to believe that they would say, we need help. We need help. You know, that's what people need today. They need Jesus. They need help. They may not realize it, but they need help. Somebody finally realized it in Macedonia, and God was in that thing. But here you have in Macedonia, just think of their background and who they were. They had great historians like Herodotus. They had oratory, just like Demosthenes. They had a great government by Pericles. They had the poetry of Homer. They had the painting and sculptures of the greatest painters and sculptors that ever lived. They had science and math. They had Euclid and Pythagoras, all of that. They had philosophy, Socrates, Plato, Aristotle. There was no greater, and probably never will be, any greater culture than the Greek culture. Here they had all this stuff. They had all of it. They had religion. Yeah. You say, well, they were just atheists and they didn't have any religion and all that. Well, they did have religion. In Athens, they had the Acropolis. Yeah. And there, the Acropolis means high city, and they had the crowning architecture there of the Parthenon. They had the temple. Some say there they worshiped as many as 30,000 different gods. And then they were wise enough to put one to the unknown God. Amen. They put that one there. And Paul said, you're very superstitious. And what he meant was, you're very religious. That's what the word really means. You're very religious. And they were religious. And there's a lot of religion around us, all around you right here, and all over this city, and all over our country. There are religious ceremonies going on, and rituals, and music. They had all of that. They had religion. They were not even atheists and infidels like people today. They at least had something. And they had everything, it seemed, but guess what? They were empty and void. He said, we need you. We need something else. This isn't working out too good. Come help us. Is there a true God? That's just like Aachen, Germany. They have religion there. I mean, you saw those beautiful cathedrals. There's something about it. You'll notice most religion builds on the highest mountain and highest hill, and they have the most ornate buildings and all of that. Best thing to do is stay away from them. You have beautiful buildings. I like this. And we thank the Lord that God has led you to be able to have these things. But they had all of these things. But religion fails. Right? Religion always fails. There's something lacking in religion. You see, the human heart thirsts. The human heart hungers for what? The truth. They want the truth. People really want the truth. They don't want some fake facade Christian playing church. They want somebody who means business with God. They want the truth, the moving Spirit of God. See, all other things fail. And I'll give you, read a few verses in this reference, 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5. And listen to what he said. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. That's Paul saying that. Declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, this is good, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, like most preachers when they get up to preach. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of what? The Spirit and of power. The Holy Spirit and of power. He said, I've come to you in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in what? In the power of God. Amen. The Holy Spirit. And that's the heart cry, I think, of people today. Amen. They're looking for something that's real, the power of God. As I said, I like your buildings. We remodeled ours some time back, and I liked to have a nervous breakdown during that, Brother Crawford. Not really, but pretty big project. But we got her done, and I'm thankful that we have a nice facility over there. And I'm thankful for that. And you have nice facilities here. But let me tell you something. You could meet in a warehouse. And you almost did when you started out. It was like a warehouse. And you could meet in a warehouse, and if you had the power of God, the Spirit of God, and He was there blessing, and you realize that, great things can happen there. You don't have to have all these other things. It's all right to have them, but fancy doesn't give us the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's the Holy Spirit of God that makes a missions conference work. It's the Holy Spirit of God that makes a preacher's message be heard. The Holy Spirit in old time would come upon people and leave. Moses and Samson, a pillar of smoke that we would see and fire by night, and this kind of glory filled the tabernacle, all of these things there in the Old Testament. But then came the day we call Pentecost. Oh, what a day that was. That was a great day, Pentecost. Don't be afraid of that word. Pentecostal difference. It made a difference. And then the Holy Spirit began to live in the hearts of people. And if you're saved today, He lives in your heart. So the gathering of the church comes together. And like I said, I brought the Holy Spirit with me today. And if you're saved, you did too. And that's what God wants. God wants the moving. And He wants us to hear. He wants our hearts to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Most of us, if we're not careful, and this would be true in any church, are thinking about how long is He going to preach and where are we going to eat as soon as the service is over. And I hope He's a short time preacher. I mean, let's be honest about the whole thing, you know. But we need to be thinking, what does the Holy Spirit want to say to us? Amen. Holy Spirit, speak to me. What do you want to say to me? And during this time, the Holy Spirit does want to speak. So He abides in our hearts in the gathering of the church. It's powerful when the Holy Spirit and people, we all get together. That's what God wants. God wants the moving of the Holy Spirit. God wants results. And the result, what happens when the Holy Spirit moves in our life? What happens during those times? Number one, I believe we start caring more for souls. You know, we get away from that. You know, we sort of backslide on our brokenness and our caring for lost people. I mean, it's easy to happen. It happens to me. It has happened to me as a pastor. And I had to get on my face before God and say, God, renew it and break my heart afresh and anew for a lost and dying world, all of lost people around me all over the place. And then I believe when the Holy Spirit's in charge, we will obey His assignments. We will do what He asks us to do. There's a great need for workers in our churches. And the pastor will say, we need so-and-so. And when the Holy Spirit tells you, you're the one that ought to do it, you ought to do it. And not wait on anything else or anybody else. Respond to the Holy Spirit. We might say this, get outside of ourselves. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Quit thinking about self. We moan and groan sometimes and we have self-pity. We need to quit living for ourselves and we need to live for others. That's what the Bible teaches. We need to live for souls. Open hearts to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And when we open our hearts and listen and say, please speak to me, Holy Spirit. I'm listening to what you're saying to me in my heart and in my mind. Then we'll love His work more, I promise you. And we'll love lost souls more. We want to reach them. And we will love missions more if we're listening to the Holy Spirit who is speaking to our hearts. So we need to say this to Him, Lord, open the door. I challenge you to say that to the Lord today, or as soon as you are willing to do it. Lord, open the door and lead the way. Here am I. Lead the way. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. If you're here and you're lost and you don't know for sure today, this very day, that if you died, you'd go to heaven. I believe while I'm talking about this, the Holy Spirit will speak to you right now and say, listen to that preacher. You need to get saved. You need to trust Christ as your Savior. You need to be born again. And when you know, if you'll just make the decision and listen, I'm drawing. I remember the night I got saved, 9-year-old lad in a little country church in northeast Louisiana, and I was sitting by my buddy, and we had talked a little bit, but I was listening to that message. And all of a sudden, when I gave the invitation, the Spirit of God got a hold to my heart. And I shot down that aisle as a 9-year-old boy and told the preacher, we were in a revival. I said, I want to be saved. Amen. I listened to the Holy Spirit. And boy, am I glad I did, that I listened to the Holy Spirit drawing me. There are some of you here today, perhaps you just are not sure that you're saved. May the Holy Spirit right now convict you. I'm telling you, there's only one way to get to heaven. It's an exclusive way. We make no apologies for that. There's one way, one door, and that's through Jesus Christ. You are a sinner. And people, I've read some comments by some of the liberals today, and they say, don't tell people when they come to your church they're sinners. They won't come back. You'll hurt their feelings. Friend, I got news for you. We're all sinners. And you're a sinner. You may be a pretty good moral person, but you're a sinner. And everybody has to be born again, and you need Christ as your Savior. And Jesus loves you. He died for you. He paid your price. He is our propitiation, our atonement. He is our salvation. It's all in Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you'll trust Him as your Savior today, He'll save you. All you got to do is ask Him to save you. He's willing to do it. Whosoever, I like that word, don't you? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you can come in a few moments when we have an invitation and just simply say, I want to be saved. And somebody here will be glad, without embarrassing you, to show you how to be saved. But most of you here today we know are saved. Would you be willing to say, Holy Spirit, lead me? I want you to lead me, Holy Spirit. Listen to Him. He is real. You say, well, that's my conscience. No. Often it is the Holy Spirit of God speaking to your conscience and speaking to your heart. He may be saying to you today, increase your faith giving, your faith promise giving. If He tells you that, and I have an idea, He's going to lead a lot of people to do that. You do it. Just obey Him. You can't go wrong, and I'll say more about that later on. But if God calls you to surrender to go to the mission field, don't fight the call. If the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, I want you to go. Maybe some young couple here, maybe some teenager, or maybe some young single, or there are other ways for even senior citizens to go to the mission field and serve. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about that, surrender. He's not going to lead you wrong, and He's going to be with you. Just surrender to that. The Macedonians said, we need help, and there are people all over the world. And we need to help them and go on short-term missions trips and give up that sin that hinders your life, that keeps you from being all you ought to be for God and grieves and quenches the Holy Spirit of God. Maybe join this church, the Holy Spirit leading you today, to come into this Bible-believing fellowship and serve God and reach the lost. Getting involved in ministry, the Holy Spirit will lead people to do that. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you. And pray and seek His face. It could be a turning point. And I think many times, many of us, probably all of us really, we need to renew our brokenness for a lost and dying world. Just think of people going to hell. Never getting out. Being incarcerated and damned forever and ever. Like dropping a rock in a well that has no bottom forever and ever, people all over the world, people all around us. We might say, God, I want to get involved. Ask the Holy Spirit today. Be willing to, you don't have to come to the altar to do it, you can, but be willing to ask the Holy Spirit to show you and seek His face and renew some of that brokenness for a lost world and use that stewarding of life like God wants you to. The Holy Spirit will lead you that way. Let's stand, please. And we'll have a prayer and then an invitation. As God speaks to your heart, you come. Maybe we just need to come and say, Lord, speak to me. I'm here. I'm available. I want to listen to you. Please, if you're unsaved, step out and come. Father, we ask now that you'd bless the Word of God and bless what the Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit, is leading in and teaching and drawing and speaking to people's hearts about right now. And may we do like Paul and them did and listen to the Holy Spirit. I thank you they did, God, because the gospel came to us through them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Pastor, you come and take it, will you?
One of the most neglected things in a Christian's life is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's there to lead us, empower us, encourage us, strengthen us. May we rely upon Him. Give our lives, surrender our lives, a living sacrifice. Give our lives to Him, allow Him to lead us. As we sing, we sing page hymn 161, softly and tenderly. The Lord spoke to your heart, you come to Him.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me.
The Lord spoke to your heart this morning, you come. There's a need this morning, you come. Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and direct your life?
Watching for you and for me, come home.
as we continue to sing.
Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercies, mercies for you and for me?
Sing it out now. Come home.
Come home.
This morning at the altar.
Calling,
Holy Spirit leading you to come pray. Come pray. Some counselors here who can counsel with you, help you if you need help.
The moments are passing from you and from me. Shadows are gathering, deathbeds are coming.